Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, no problem. We got the big Bible in the sky right behind me. But hey, this Wednesday starts something that we have participated in the last several years here at North Point Community Church, and it's what we call our 40-day finish, because this Wednesday begins the 40 days to the end of the year. And this is the season and the time where so many people, they want to get lazy, they want to just, you know, sit back and slide. But here's the problem. You want to start 2018 with the bang. You want to start 2018 on top of your game. You got dreams and you got goals and you got resolutions. You got things that you want to accomplish in 2018. But I want you to know, if you just creep and crawl and slide into 2018, it's not going to start near as good as if you focus on these last 40 days. You're intentional about your habits. You're intentional about your goals. You're working hard. You're doing what it takes to get better in those areas of your life that you need to get better in. And if you finish these last 40 days strong, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to show up and you're going to smack 2018 right in the face, because you were ready for it when it showed up. But so many people just try to slide into the new year. And about this time, they start saying, well, it's the holidays. And 2018 is right around the corner, and I'm going to make some New Year's resolution, and I'm going to start getting some things right in 2018. And we throw away the last 40 days of the year. Well, if you can imagine, if you do that for your next 40 years, you will have thrown away 1,600 days of your life. Say, well, it's just the holidays. How much improvement could we have made over 1,600 days of our life? Those are years of our life that we're throwing away. So this is why here at North Point a few years ago, we implemented this 40-day challenge. And what this does is it just brings to our mind the importance of these 40 days. I can do something in these 40 days to improve my life. I can do something in these 40 days to improve my marriage. I can do something in these 40 days to focus me on becoming who I want to be. And yes, you can still eat your brownie sundae, and you can still eat your turkey and dressing, and you can do whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to binge on Netflix, go ahead and do all the binging this week you want to do. But hey, stay focused on your goal and do something productive that's making you better and making you the person that you want to be. And so we just say our 40-day finish. So you're going to be hearing us talk about that for the remainder of the year, talking about our 40-day finish. And so I want you to be thinking about that. What is something that you can do starting on this Wednesday to finish this year, these last 40 days, focused and intentional, that's going to allow you to start 2018 the way that you really want to start that year? Amen? Amen. Well, we are in our current series entitled Gratitudes, and that's our strategy for every season of life. And before the grammar police shows up and says, you know, that's not a real word, we know that's not a real word, and that's why we like it here at North Point Community Church, because we like to make up our own words that have a powerful meaning. Because in that word gratitude, you see two words. You see gratitude and you see attitude. And I hope forever when you see the word gratitude, you think gratitudes, because you know that my gratitude is always going to impact my attitude. And somebody said amen to that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're only going to read one verse in verse 18. It's the verse for our series, and it says this: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Today, I want to speak to you on the subject of the gateway to gratitude, the gateway to gratitude. Let's pray. Father, I ask in the next few moments that you would do what only you can do, mold us and make us into the people that you designed and created us to be. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray, and with faith and expectation. Everybody in the room said? Amen. Everybody in the room said? Amen. Amen. Hey, the Bible says that giving thanks is God's will for your life in every situation. And I'm so glad that the Word of God says that, because now I have a strategy for every season of my life. I have a strategy for my good days and my bad days. I have a strategy for my mountaintops, and I have a strategy for my valleys. It doesn't matter what situation or circumstance I'm going through in life. Now I have the proper strategy, and it's the strategy of gratitude. And I know whenever I live in gratitude, that gratitude is going to impact my attitude. And you may have heard it said before that attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. And I believe that. But here's what I'll say is that gratitude, it's like the cheat sheet for your attitude. Gratitude is the cheat sheet. You know, you cannot go into a test with the cheat sheet with all the answers and fail the test. And it's the same way of walking in life. You can't go in life full of gratitude and then fail at attitude. No, if you live full of gratitude, guess what? Your life is going to have the proper attitude that you need to face whatever you're going through. And so gratitude is so, so important. You see, Thanksgiving, it needs to be more than a day. It needs to be our lifestyle. It needs to be who we are as people. And last week, we focused on one word in this verse that we just read, and we focused on this word, give, because this is what gratitude is not just knowing that we have a lot of things to be thankful for. Gratitude is actually giving thanks for those things. It's one thing to know that you have a lot of things that you should be thankful for. It's a whole nother thing when you begin to give thanks every day for those things in your life. And that's what gratitude is all about. It's not just about having a grateful heart. It's about doing the act of being grateful. It's about giving thanksgiving. It's about giving thanks to God. And by that action, we experience the results of gratitude. And for each and every one of us, when it comes to gratitude, our attitude just needs our gratitude. Our daily attitude needs our gratitude. We introduced this quote last week, and it's by Pastor John Ortberg, and this is what it says. It says, "The single dynamic that helps people be most aware of God and most experiencing the fruit of the Spirit is gratitude." The single dynamic that helps people be most aware of God and most experiencing the fruit of the Spirit is gratitude. So gratitude has this profound effect on our awareness of God and on us experiencing the fruit of the Spirit. But I want you to think about how these two things would also help your attitude. Let's just look at being aware of God, how that would help your attitude. It's gratitude that makes us aware of God's presence, gratitude that makes us aware of God's power. It's gratitude that makes us aware of God's plan in my life. And it's not just an awareness that He is watching me, it's awareness that God is helping me. Okay, it's not that God is watching. I'm not aware that God is watching me, trying to point out everything in my life that I'm doing wrong. No, it's the fact that God is with me. And because God is with me, God is helping me. And my awareness of God is ultimately giving me faith in my life. Because Jesus said this, with God, all things are possible. And so when I'm aware that I am with God, when He is with me, He is helping me, and He is for me, then that means all things are possible. And now my awareness of God is taking my faith to the next level. And when my faith goes to the next level, guess what's following close behind my faith? That is my attitude. My attitude is going to the next level as well. The awareness of God will have a profound effect upon your attitude. And how do you get to the awareness of God? Through gratitude. The awareness of God. But then it says this, you experience the fruit of the Spirit. Gratitude, it helps me experience good fruit in my life. The fruit of the Spirit are listed in Galatians chapter 5, and it lists these nine fruit of the Spirit. It says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So gratitude is what helps these fruits of the Spirit overflow in my life. I want you to picture your life right now. Picture your life overflowing with love, overflowing with peace, overflowing with patience, overflowing with kindness, overflowing with goodness, overflowing with faithfulness, overflowing with self-control. Picture your life overflowing with these fruit. Now I want you to picture your attitude. Wouldn't your attitude be amazing if your life was overflowing? overflowing with that kind of fruit. But I want you to think about the opposite of that fruit. I want you to think about, instead of love, think about hate and prejudice. Instead of joy, think about regret and worry. Instead of peace, think about confusion and frustration. Instead of patience, think about agitation and nervousness. Instead of kindness, think about anger and rudeness. Instead of goodness, think about dishonesty and immorality. Instead of gentleness, think about harshness and meanness. Instead of faithfulness, think about disloyalty and cheating. Instead of self-control, think about carelessness and living an undisciplined life. And I want you to think about those fruit in your life. And now picture your attitude. There's no way that you could have a good attitude if you have the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. No, you are going to have a bad attitude. And so we say, wow, what is going to most affect my attitude when I have the right fruit in my life? And the thing that gives me the right fruit in my life is this thing called gratitude. Isn't it so powerful that gratitude gives me the awareness I need for my faith, and gratitude gives me the fruit that I need for my life? And my awareness of God and experiencing the fruit of the Spirit is going to give me the attitude that I need to make it through whatever I'm going through. Isn't God amazing? He says, this is my will for your life, that you would give thanks, that you would live in gratitude, because God knows when you live in gratitude, you're going to be aware of his presence and his power and his plan, and then you're going to experience the fruit of the Spirit, and he knows that kind of impact on your attitude. And we all know when we have the right attitude, life gets better in every area. God knows that. So that's why God gives us this direction. God says, man, you got to be careful. You got to pay attention. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 15. He writes and he says this, so be careful how you live. Everybody say careful. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Be careful how you live. Don't be careless. Don't live with less care. No, be full of care. The word careful just means cautious in one's actions. Being careful does not mean be fearful. Being cautious does not mean be fearful. It just means this: you need to pay attention to the way that you live. You need to make sure that you are living as a wise person and not as a fool, because Proverbs 2 tells us that wise choices will watch over you. When you make wise choices, those wise choices will watch over you, but foolish choices will expose you. Foolish choices will leave you vulnerable. Foolish choices will leave you exposed in the world. We don't want to make foolish choices. We want to be careful how we live, making wise choices, and let those wise choices watch over us and protect us. Paul continues in verse 16, and he says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity. You have to be alert to every opportunity of decision. You have good opportunities, and you have bad opportunities, and you need to be alert when it comes to every decision that we make. Don't ever say, well, this decision really is not that important. No, my friends, every decision that you make is important, because every decision is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to move closer to God or further away from God. It's an opportunity to move closer to who you want to be or take a step back from who you want to be. Every decision you make, every thought that you have, every word that you speak, every decision that you make in your life is an important decision. And that's why he says you have to make the most out of every opportunity. Make the most. Verse 17, he says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly. Give your actions and decisions some thought. You know, saying that this is the way my mom did it, or this is the way I've always done it, that's not good enough. We cannot live our life on cruise control. God did not create you to live thoughtlessly, saying, well, this is the way that I was raised, or this is the way I've always done it. That's living on cruise control. That's living thoughtlessly. That's me not giving any thought to what I'm doing, any thought to what I'm saying, any thought to the way that I'm living. And God says, do not live that way. Instead, you need to understand the way way that the Lord wants you to live. And you say, well, what is the will of God? We've already talked about that. It is giving thanks. And when I give thought to obeying God and I begin to give the thanks that he is asking for, now I'm putting myself on the right track and on the right path for him to take me where he wants to take me. But I don't get there by acting thoughtlessly. I have to give thought to understanding the will of God. He goes on in verse 18, he says this. He says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Man, he's challenging us here. Don't live in such a way that your life could be ruined. It means that we must be making wise, careful decisions. We got to be thinking about what we're doing. Don't live in such a way that your life could be destroyed because you're drunk from wine, because you're stealing from your boss, because you're living in sexual immorality, because your heart is filled with jealousy and anger. He's saying, hey, be careful how you live. Pay attention to how you live. Don't live thoughtlessly. Don't just live on cruise control. Don't just mosey through life thinking, well, it's all going to work out in the end. No. Every decision is important, and you need to give thought to it. Don't let your life be destroyed because you weren't intentional. He says, instead, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that's an intentional decision for your life to be full of the Holy Spirit? Just because you come to North Point Community Church on Sunday doesn't mean that Tuesday morning your life is just automatically going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just because you were raised in church doesn't mean that your life is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. No, the only way that your life is filled with the Holy Spirit, when you live life giving thought and paying attention and you live life making the right decision at every opportunity you have, that's how you fill your life with the Holy Spirit. And I love the way he closes out this little portion of scripture that we're reading here in verse 20. He says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. He's saying, man, if you want to be aware of God and you want to experience the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what it's going to take to accomplish what I just laid out for you. If you're going to be careful how you live, if you're going to make the most of every opportunity, if you're going to live in wisdom and not living thoughtlessly, if you're going to understand what the Lord wants you to do, if you're not going to ruin your life, if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're going to do these things, then you have to live with thanksgiving, because it's going to make you aware of me and it's going to fill your life up with the fruit that your life needs so that you can live the life that I have called you to live. We see here the power of thanksgiving. And now we say, okay, Pastor, I get it. I see that today. That gratitude is going to help me cultivate the faith and the fruit that my attitude needs to flourish. I see that today. Gratitude is going to make me aware of God. And when I'm aware of God, my attitude is going to improve. Okay, I see that today, that whenever I live in gratitude, that I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Love, joy. Man, now I can tell, yes, 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 that's going to make my attitude better. I see that I need that faith. I need that fruit for my attitude to flourish. But then it brings us to the question, well, how do I get to gratitude? How do I get to gratitude? And maybe you're asking that question, and I'm so glad that you're asking that question, because I'm going to answer that question today for you. How do you get to gratitude? I want to share just two things with you today. Two gateways to gratitude, two entry points to living the lifestyle of gratitude that's going to put me in the proper attitude. Here's the first gateway to gratitude, and it's perspective. Perspective. Perspective is simply my mental view. It's the way of seeing or thinking about something. I want you to hear me today. If my perspective is off, then my attitude won't be right. If my perspective is off, if my view is off, then my attitude, my direction won't be right. You see, this is why I have to allow God to change the way I think so he can change what I see, so he can change the way that I live. I want to say that to you again. I have to allow God, this is why I have to allow God to change the way I think, so that he can change what I see, so that he can change the way that I live. He has to change the way that I think so that he can change what I see, because I will only see what I think. Whatever I think, that's what I will see in my life. And you know that's true. It's whatever you think, that's what you start seeing. You know, if you start thinking that everybody just bought the white minivan that you just bought, then you start looking on the road and man, all you see is white minivans on the road. Yeah, it's whatever you think in your mind is what you begin to see. And that applies to your life. What you think is what you see, and what you see dictates the way that you live. So if I want to live a different way, I've got to say, God, I need you to change the way that I think so you can change the way that I see myself, change the way that I see my future, change the way I see my past, change the way I see my family, change the way I see your plan, change the way I see every. God, I need you to change the way I see everything so that, and ultimately I can get on the right pathway. I can begin to move in the right direction. And nothing happens when I don't have the right perspective. I have to get the right perspective. So in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, and he says this in verse 21. He says, since you have heard about Jesus and you've learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I just want to clarify real quickly before we dive into this portion of Scripture. Paul here, he's not talking about the moment of salvation. He's talking about the journey of transformation. He's not talking about the moment of salvation. In one moment, you can confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In one moment, his blood will cleanse you of all of your sins. In one moment, you can stand before him clean and pure and holy because of his sacrifice. In one moment, you can step out of darkness into light. In one moment, you can step from death into life. In one moment, that's all it takes. You believing in him, confessing him that he is Lord and Savior, and salvation comes into your life, and you can step into the family of God. And that takes a moment, but that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the journey of transformation, because just because I prayed a prayer doesn't mean that everything in my life is going to change. And that's what Paul's alluding to here, because he says, hey, you've heard about Jesus and you have learned the truth that comes from him. And what do we know about the truth? Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. Okay, the truth is going to set you free. So we learned that there is freedom in the truth. So what does that mean for you today? Because you have learned about Jesus, there is freedom in Jesus. So there's potential for transformation, because I can be free from my old ideologies. I can be free from my old habits. I can be free from my old behaviors. I can be free from my old lifestyles, because Jesus came to set me free and to give me the potential to be transformed. But it's a journey. How do you get on that journey? He says in verse 22, you got to throw off your sinful nature. Throw off your former way of life. You got to throw it off. You understand? Just because you pray a prayer doesn't fall off. Wouldn't that be nice? You come to church, you sing a song, you pray a prayer, and 27 years of thinking and living would just fall off, and you just walked out a brand new person. Man, wouldn't that just be amazing? But that's not the way it happens. Paul says you're going to have to throw that off. You're going to have to continually throw off that former way of living, that former way of thinking. You're going to have to do the hard work of throwing it off. And here, what he adds to that, he says, you got to throw it off because it's been driven by lust and deception. There's something about deception. Deception is when you're doing wrong and you don't even know you're doing wrong. That means I'm thinking wrong and I don't even know I'm thinking wrong. I'm talking wrong and I don't even know I'm talking wrong. Why? Because I'm living under deception, because that's what the old me was driven by. I was deceived, and now I've come into the light, but I'm still living with some former things in my life and I have been deceived. I'm not telling you about deception to worry you. I'm just telling you to warn you that there might be some thoughts that you're having in your mind that aren't God's thoughts. There might be some things that are coming out of your mouth that God never really intended to come out of your mouth. And just because your mom said them and your grandmother said them and your great-grandmother said them, and just because your grandpa said it and your dad said it, maybe not be the best thing for you to say it. All you got to do is get around the Thanksgiving table and you're going to hear what I'm talking about. There's little comments that every family has, and you've been saying it. Why? Because that's our family. It's our family tradition. And you've been saying it, and you've been saying it to your children, and you've been speaking it over your life, and you've been speaking it over your home. And God said, I don't want you to speak that over your home. I want to do. You say, well, man, okay, well, what do I do? Just because I've been to see, what do I do? Oh, it's right there in the scripture. Verse 23, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to give you a new way of thinking. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a new way of seeing. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a new perspective. The Holy Spirit wants to give you the perspective of God. He wants to renew your attitude. And just a few months ago, we defined attitude as this: a settled way of thinking or feeling about something. A settled way. It's what I have been comfortable with. It's what I have just settled into in life. This is the way that I think about people. This is the way that I think about problems. This is the way I think about opportunity. This is the way I think about myself. This is the way I think about church. This is the way I think about Christmas. This is what, and we get settled into an attitude. It's a way of thinking. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit wants to come in and He wants to renew your attitude. He wants to renew your settled way of thinking. What's that saying? That would used to be normal, but the Holy Spirit wants to come in and He wants to renew your normal. He wants to give you a new normal way of thinking and a new normal way of seeing. He wants to give you a new normal perspective where it's not the perspective of who you used to be, but it's the perspective of who God created you to be, and only the Holy Spirit can do that in your life. Destin and I, we were driving back late last night from Dallas, and on the way home, we just began to talk about this concept of being renewed by the Holy Spirit. And we started telling stories about me. She started telling stories when we first started dating some 20 years ago. And we've now been married for 13 years. And we were telling stories. And as she was telling these stories, it was embarrassing. She was having way too much fun telling these old stories about me. But man, we just sat there and we just said, wow, the work that the Holy Spirit has done to renew my thinking, to renew my attitude, because I had a settled way of thinking about life. I had a settled way of thinking about problems. I had a settled way, and it was my way. But the Holy Spirit came in and said, no, that's not the way I created you to live. I want to renew in you these thoughts. I want to renew in you these attitudes. I want to give you a brand new normal. And today, I stand so far removed, not because of who I am, but because of the great work that the Holy Spirit has done in me and the work that the Holy Spirit desires to do in each and every one of us. He wants to renew your thinking, to renew your attitudes. Why? Verse 24, so that you can put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So I believe that this is one of the biggest disconnects for Christians is because they know what's possible, because they know what's in the Word. They know how God created them to live, and they know that it's possible, but they've never really allowed the Holy Spirit to renew their thinking, to renew their attitude, to renew their settled way of being, never let the Holy Spirit renew their perspective, and they're trying to put on a new nature, but you don't get the new nature without having a renewed mind and a renewed attitude, and we try to put on this nature, but the nature never seems to fit right. And we can't live right in this new nature. And it's the biggest disconnect, because I know what's possible and I know how God created me to live and I know who I want to be, but I'm stuck over here and I'm trying to be that, but I'm not letting the Holy Spirit do His work of renewing me on the inside. And so it never fits. And so all I spend my life is just discouraged and defeated, because I see what's possible over there and I'm wondering, why can't I ever get there? And it's because I'm still holding on to some old attitudes and to some old mindsets and to some old points of view and some old attitudes and ways of thinking, and I'm holding so tightly to those things, and I'm not letting the Holy Spirit do His work. And if I ever want to get over there, I first must say, Holy Spirit, come, renew my thinking, renew my perspective, make me who God created me to be on the inside, so that I can step into this new nature of being holy and righteous, being the person that God created me to be over here, but it doesn't happen without a renewed mind. How do we get to this place of a new perspective? How do we get to this way of new ways of thinking? It's all about this perspective. And this is what James says. And I want you to see this in James chapter 1, verse 16. He says, don't be misled. Anytime you read that in Scripture, like put a little exclamation point by it, put a little star by it. Because when he says, don't be misled, what he's saying is, hey, it's easy to be misled. He wouldn't say, don't be misled. He's saying, hey, you could just read right over this, but I'm going to tell you, don't be misled. What comes next might sound like common sense, but it's commonly missed. So be careful. Don't be misled, my brothers and sisters. He says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and he never changes. Come on, everybody in the room, say every. Every good thing, every perfect gift I have received, it came from God the Father, the creator and the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. This isn't mine. Whatever it is, it's not mine. It's not my talent. It's not my house. It's not even my life. It does not belong to me because it did not come from me. It came from the Father in heaven. And so many times we fall into this selfish perspective, and the selfish perspective will always steal your gratitude. That's why the Bible is so adamant about stressing. Don't be selfish. It says in Philippians 2, it says, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Don't let selfishness be your guide. Don't be driven by selfish tendencies. Instead, he gives us the remedy. Be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. See, when life is always about me, my gratitude will always be stifled. But when selfishness takes a back seat to humility, then gratitude can begin to flow in my life. And when you begin to say, well, how do you know when your perspective is off? What are some things that you can look for? You can listen to the words that you speak, because the words that you speak clearly communicate what is in your heart. And you can listen for the wrong perspective. I mean, Jesus said it himself in Luke chapter 6. He said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What comes out of your mouth is actually in your heart, and you can begin to listen to what is coming out of your mouth. When my perspective is off, I tend to focus on what I have rather than what I don't have rather than what I do have. That's when I know my perspective is off. I start focusing on what I don't have instead of what I do have. When my perspective gets off, I begin to focus on what others say instead of what God has already said. When my perspective gets off, I begin to focus on what I feel like instead of what I know is right. And when I start focusing on these wrong things, I know my perspective is off. When I begin to talk about my burdens more than I do my blessings, when I talk about my difficulties more than I do my direction, these are things that happen in my life. And when I begin to do these things, it's like a siren is going off. You better do something. What do I do in that moment? I say, Holy Spirit, will you please come? Renew my thing. I'm throwing off that old way of thinking. I'm throwing off that former way of life. God, I knew it wouldn't be easy. I'm going to keep throwing it off. I'm going to keep on throwing it off because, God, I know that you have something for me, but my perspective is off right now. I'm thinking about the wrong things. I'm seeing the wrong things. And if my perspective is off, then my attitude is not going to be right. And if my attitude is not right, I'm not moving in the right direction. So, Holy Spirit, will you please come now and begin to renew my thoughts and renew my attitudes so that you can make me into the person that God wants me to be. Here's the second thing. The second thing that the second gateway into gratitude is practices. And these gateways to gratitude, they really work in two ways. Your perspectives can shape your practices, or your practices can begin to help shape your perspective. It's like the chicken and the egg. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know, and I don't really care. The chicken needs the egg, and the egg needs the chicken. That's what I know. And it's the same way with your perspective and your practices, because sometimes God will change your perspective, and then your practices will come and get in line with your new perspective. But sometimes I know that my perspective, I know that my gratitude is off, and so I start changing the practices of my life to do things to get more gratitude in my life, and it's amazing what happens to my perspective. When my practices get right, my perspective begins to swing under and line up with my perspective. So it doesn't matter if your perspective change your practices or your practices change your perspective. Either way, you are on the gateway to gratitude, and gratitude is the goal. I love this scripture because this is like the great connection between our perspective and our practices. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts." Okay, this is our thinking. This is our perspective. This is our attitude here. But he's saying, okay, you can actually fix it on what is true. You can fix it on what is honorable. You can fix it on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. You see, there are some habits that we can establish in our lives that will push us towards greater attitude. Some habits, some practices that we can do. I just want to give you a few of them. These are practical things. You might even want to jot some of these down. Practical things that you can do to help you with gratitude. Number one is morning prayer. Morning prayer. And you can spend the first part of that prayer not asking God to do things for you, but just thanking him for all that he has done. Spend the first part of that prayer before you answer an email, before you get on social media, before you eat your eggs and toast. You can wake up and you can spend the first part of your morning just giving God thanks. God, thank you that I woke up today, that I get to experience another day. God, thank you that my body is functioning properly. God, thank you that my eyes are seeing today and my ears are hearing. God, I thank you that you're going to go with me today. God, I thank you that your strength is available. God, I thank you today that you're going to be my strong tower and my refuge, the place that I can run to and know that I'm safe. God, I thank you that your peace is going to be with me. I thank you that your joy is going to flow out of my life. God, I thank you today that you're faithful and that you're going to walk with me no matter what I go through today. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can start every morning off by giving thanks to God in morning prayer. Here's the second thing you can do. You can journal daily. You can journal daily. Now, I know there's like 70% of men just checked out right there. I'm not going to Barnes & Noble in the journal section. I'm not checking out with a little book that says journal on it. That's just not for me. Cool. You know what? That's not for me either. But there is an app that you can get on your phone called the 5-Minute Journal. And I wouldn't be upset right now if you got on the App Store and you downloaded it right now while I'm talking. It wouldn't even offend me, wouldn't upset me, because what I say in the next few moments, it might benefit your life, but I can tell you if you start working that app, it'll change your life. Here's why. Because it asks you every day, what are three things that you're grateful for? Three things. My challenge is to never repeat anything that I've been thankful for. You can imagine, you do that for 100 days, you've written 300 things down that you are thankful for. And any moment that you start getting depressed and discouraged and start feeling sorry for yourself, just go back and look in July and look in August and look in October and see all the things that you are thankful for. And you know what gratitude is going to do? It's going to help you with your attitude in that moment, because you have so many things to be grateful for. And you say, well, how did I get that? How did I get that spark? It's because I journaled. It's because I wrote down what I was grateful for. And you know what? Hey, if you're into the journaling thing, then take your journal. But I challenge you with the same thing. Write three things down every single day that you're grateful for. Write three things down you're grateful for. Hear me. It doesn't just have to be things that are going great. It can just be things that are still going. You might be having some tremendous problems with your teenage son, but do you know what? You still have a teenage son. Because there's some people in the world that they don't have a teenage son anymore because that son passed away tragically. And so you might be having some issues and you might be feeling sorry for yourself, but you still have a teenage son. And I can actually write down, God, I'm thankful for the trouble that I'm having with my teenage son because I still have a son. My marriage might be having some issues right now, and we might be a little rocky, but you know what? We're still together. We're still under the same roof. We're still sleeping in the same bed. God, I'm so thankful today that I still have a spouse and that we're going to be able to work through this difficulty. You see, it doesn't have to be perfect and be great to be thankful for it. No, but you got to have a journal. You got to have something where you can begin to write down these things that you're thankful for. Things to help you with your gratitude. You can begin to speak declarations every morning. The third thing, you speak declarations. Speak declarations of gratitude. Speak declarations of thanksgiving. Begin to fix your thoughts on what is true and right and pure, and give thanks to God in your morning declarations. Here's number four. You can take a gratitude walk. Author John Gordon, he does this every day. He's the author of The Energy Bus. And we might have some of his books out there on our book card. But every single day, he takes a walk around his block. And his walk is not to answer emails. His walk is not to check social media. His walk is not to talk on the phone. No. He takes a walk around his block. And the whole purpose of his walk is for gratitude, to give thanks to God for the day, to give thanks to God for his family, to give thanks for God for all the blessings that are in his life. And he just takes a walk around the block every day. It's called a gratitude walk. Maybe that would apply to you. Here's the fifth thing that you can do to enhance your gratitude, and that's world awareness. World awareness. When you're aware of the famine that's happening in Africa, when you're aware of the drought that's happening in the Middle East, when you're aware of government upheaval and the living conditions in some places around the world, when you are aware that today there are 30 million slaves on this planet in sex trafficking, when you begin to be aware of things like that, global awareness will all of a sudden give you tremendous gratitude. When you have a chance to travel to another nation, see the way that other people live, all of a sudden you will be more grateful than you have ever been in your life. You say, but I don't have a chance to go to another nation. That's okay, because we live in the world of the internet. You can get on today and look at pictures of people living in refugee camps. You can follow Preemptive Love on your social media, and they will post so many stories that at the end of the day, you will be crying yourself to sleep at the conditions of these refugees, that they had to walk so many days, and they didn't have any food, and they didn't have any water, and some people died along the journey, and you begin to think, my God, and all of a sudden, you had a first world problem because your Wi-Fi wasn't working, but in a moment, everything changes because you're so grateful that you live underneath the roof. It's world awareness. Here's the sixth thing that you can begin to do to help your gratitude. That's serving others. You don't have to go to Bulgaria to discover gratitude. You can serve dinner at the Shreveport-Bossier Rescue Mission. And whenever you begin to serve people who have it more difficult than you do, all of a sudden you will be wide open for increased gratitude in your life. You can take this holiday season and you can go down to the hub. You go to the Shreveport-Bossier Rescue Mission. And you begin to serve those who are less fortunate than you, then the things that you are complaining about will turn into gratitude on your way home. Here's the seventh thing, the last thing that I'll give you, just a practical tip for increasing gratitude, and that's intentional remembering. When you begin to recall specific moments in your life where good things happen to you, when you begin to remember precise times of God's goodness and faithfulness to you and your family, when you begin to remember when people helped you, when people encouraged you, when people counseled you, and you begin to remember those moments, in those moments, all of a sudden, your gratitude will go to the next level. The Bible says this as we close in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. Why do you have to train yourself to be godly? Because being godly, it doesn't just happen naturally. Oh, you got to train yourself to be godly. You know what? If you want to be godly, it means that you walk in the will of God. It means that you live in the way of God. And the will of God is that you give thanks. That's what the scripture clearly says. So if I'm going to train myself to be godly, that means I also have to train myself to give thanks. Now, there are some people in this room today, and it's natural for you to be just so grateful, and you need to be grateful for that gratefulness. But if you're like me and most of the people in this room, gratitude takes a lot of work. Giving thanks takes work, and I have to train myself to be godly. But can I tell you, the hard work that you spend on gratitude will show up every single time in your attitude. And the hard work that you do on giving thanks and living in gratitude, when it shows up in your attitude, when it begins to show up in your awareness of God and of His love and of His power and of His presence, and when it begins to show up in your life as the fruit of the Spirit, and you start experiencing more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control than you ever have had in your life, the hard work that you did on that gratitude will always be worth it when it impacts your attitude, because attitude is everything. And when you change your gratitude, you change your attitude. And when you change your attitude, you can change your life. And that's what God knew about you. And that's why God said, I want you to give thanks in every situation. Give thanks in every circumstance. Whatever you're going through, give thanks today. Because if you will live in gratitude, then by my power, I will change your attitude. And when I change your attitude, I will change your life. And when I change your life, then all things are possible for you. I want you to stand with me all over this place today. I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. Here's what I know. There's some people in this room today, and you're saying, I desperately need the Holy Spirit to renew my attitude. I desperately need the Holy Spirit to renew my thinking. You say, I've got some old ways of thinking. Maybe even as I was preaching today, some things that you have thought all of your life, it was like the spotlight of heaven was shining upon it. You thought that just the way it was. You thought that's the way that it would always be. Maybe as I was preaching today, there are some words that have been coming out of your mouth, some phrases that you've been using. And you say, honestly, I was deceived. I thought that this was just okay. I didn't realize that every choice I made was important. I didn't realize that I was actually living thoughtlessly. I was just saying that because I grew up hearing my father say that. I just said that because I grew up hearing my grandmother say that every Christmas and every Thanksgiving. I just adopted it and I never gave it any thought. But as I was preaching the word of God today, God came and he exposed that and he said, nope, not anymore. I'm coming to renew that speech. I'm coming to renew that thought. I'm coming to renew that attitude, and I'm coming to renew you and make you into a brand new normal so that you begin to think in a different way. You say, I know that I need that today. I know that I need that. I need the Holy Spirit to renew my thoughts and attitudes. Or maybe today you're here and you say, you know what? I need to implement some of these practices. Maybe you're standing here today with your head bowed and your eyes closed and you're saying, man, the 40-day finish, this is a perfect time. I'm going to take two of those. I'm going to take five of those. And I'm going to begin to implement some of those things. I'm going to begin to put those things in my life. And as I begin to practice gratitude, I believe my perspective is going to change. And I believe my life is going to change because I began to practice gratitude at a higher level. Today, whether you need the Holy Spirit to change your perspective, or today, whether you're ready to change some practices in your life, and you say, that's me, that's where I am today. I'm ready to live at a new level of gratitude so that I can experience a new level in my attitude. Come on, lift up your hand all over this place. Say, Philip, you're talking to me. Right there where you are, come on, just lift up your hand before God. Say, God, you're speaking to me today. Come on, if you need the Holy Spirit to come right now and begin to renew some thoughts and renew some attitudes, come on, just invite the Holy Spirit right now. Just invite them right there where you are to say, Holy Spirit, come. Come, renew my thoughts. Renew my attitudes. Come on, with your hand lifted towards heaven, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your presence, your power, and your peace. Come right now into my life. I'm ready to live at a high level of gratitude. I want to be aware of you. I want to experience the fruit of the Spirit. I want to live with a new attitude. And I'm ready for my gratitude to be everything that it should be. Father, I pray right now for each and every person that lifted up their hands. God, whether they need you to renew the attitude, whether they need you to renew their perspective, or God, whether they're ready to put some new things in practice. God, I pray that you would begin a great work right now in this place, that it would be carried out for the rest of this year. God, that we would be changed and transformed by our level of gratitude. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, let's lift up the name.
Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.